Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
This is The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. Seems like I was just in the studio. Well, I'm back, and I have a special guest. But first, consider this. Eastside Justice and Enforcement. We assume that to be very much like, you know, justice and enforcement on the peaceful and subdued west side of the riverbank, where life, we assume, is uniquely different from simple existence on the east side. It's a fact. It's undisputed. And it may also be true. And I'm only mentioning the word true because it's very difficult to come by anything that is true in the month of November in America. I refer you to the media, for example. The media often refers to things that are true, and they attribute it to the authorities. As if someone in authority is stationed like a power pole every few feet along our way, and they make authoritative comments and judgments just as we need them. You ever listen to the radio and have them quote the authorities concerning a crime or an accident or a fire? The authorities will say something about a vehicle or a weapon or the people whose names are being withheld. It's the kind of stuff we expect from the authorities. When all is said and done, and the incident has been controlled and thoroughly seen to, that's when you can expect a nice quote from the authorities. But alone, on the wild palouse on the east side at midnight 30, as you notice a cartel henchman putting a chainsaw to your cardioid artery, or a pirate shanghaiing you aboard his cigarette boat, or Bigfoot renewing his grip on your naughty bits, yes, look around. No authorities. Not when you need them, which is why I've taken the precaution of pre-calling the authorities as my very special guest on today's show. And they're here now, just before we need them. So we're all relaxed. Me, a simple citizen, and the authorities are here as well. We meet them now. Douglas County Sheriff, new Sheriff, Kevin Morris, and Douglas County soon-to-be Undersheriff, Tyler Cale. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and nice to have you here.
Thank you, Michael.
Nice congratulations to both of you, because congratulations are in order. Mr. Sheriff, you have a new job. Mr. Undersheriff, you are about to transform from a simple sheriff, deputy sergeant,
correct,
to the undersheriff. That's a great distinction. How did that happen?
That's correct. Thank you, Michael.
Should I ask you, or should I ask the guy who appointed you?
Well, you can ask the guy that appointed me first, but
who will answer?
Yeah, I'll answer it. Boss, yeah, I mean, I guess ultimately it was my decision, so I'll answer that. So Tyler's been with us for going on 12 years now, close to 12 years, and but even before he became a law enforcement officer, he had a lot of management experience, and he's applied that. He's currently a sergeant with us. He runs the north end of the county. Leads seven deputies, and the north end position is unique because it's geographically so far away from our main office, the main functioning.
It's like a satellite out there.
It certainly is. So you have to have somebody that can manage, and he's done a great job with that. So he actually comes with some management experience. For 9 years, he was a city superintendent for Mansfield City.
Wow.
He's been in the fire industry for quite a few years. He currently is the Douglas County District 5 Fire Chief, and he had 6 years as the Assistant Chief, and he's been the Chief for 14 years. And if you ever walk into his fire station, you can eat off the floor. So the guy's extremely detail-oriented, and he has a lot more fire equipment and apparatuses than any other fire department I've seen of that size have. So he knows how to find funding get the equipment that's needed for these folks. And then he also was on this Mansfield School Board for 12 years. So.
Wow. Is there anything you don't do around Mansfield? You put out the fire, you maintain law and order, and you're part of the school apparatus. That's great.
Yeah. I wasn't the mayor. That was the only thing I haven't been. So.
You still have time, though. You're young and you're young and full of life.
Absolutely.
Well, what, after all that background, what made you put everything else aside that we heard about your resume and pick law enforcement?
You know, law enforcement's something that I always had a passion for. Of course, I've always had the background in emergency services, whether it be through EMS or through fire. But law enforcement was that unique dynamic that it was the other portion of, you know, that you were the person that when somebody needed help, you were the one they called. And especially being in a rural community, you were really somebody that you would be the one they would, you know, not necessarily always call 911 for, but it was somebody they would just call you at home and say, hey, I've got this going on. You know, what do you think I should do? Or how could you help me? Or hey, can you help me? And I really like that dynamic. I like the small town, the county dynamic of law enforcement. And And the great thing about when I applied, you know, in 2006 and started as a reserve for Douglas County was it was my way to try to get into law enforcement and make sure I liked it first before I completely changed professions. But at the same time, it was a chance for me to make it move into a different profession and not have to physically move. Because I like the country life. I grew up in Mansfield, graduated there. I'm a lifelong county resident. You know, I've come from a fifth-generation family of farmers. So, I mean,
so
this
let
is
me
home.
Guess. The wrong car drives through Mansfield. You know about it just as it goes by the Burger King, right?
There you go. You know who everybody is.
You say, that doesn't look right.
Well, if there's a Burger King, and he's not Mansfield.
That's right. So
okay, well.
But it's a type of thing. I mean,
name a Burger King equivalent in Mansfield. What would it be?
So, yeah, Main Street is three blocks long. So if somebody is out of place in Mansfield, it doesn't take long to figure out who that person is and what they're doing there.
Do you think the skills of a fireman and a policeman are so different?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's the same goal. You're there to help people. There's this perpetual teasing between law enforcement and fire and whatnot. But at the end of the day, our goal is to help people and to mitigate a problem and to help people usually in those situations in a case that they're having the worst day of their life. Mm-hmm. And you're there to try to bring some order to that, bring some closure, and do what you can to mitigate that problem for them.
Am I right in thinking that the rivalry between the police and the fire department is also based on the fact that when a policeman's in trouble, who does he call?
Calls the fireman.
Calls the damn fire department. I know. It must rankle you. And it does them, too, because they know they have to come.
That's right.
Our guests today are Douglas County Sheriff, our new Sheriff, Kevin Morris, who just went through an election process, and Douglas County soon-to-be our new Sheriff, Tyler Cale. Mr. Sheriff, you have some budget problems you have some budget solutions that you'd like to discuss with us.
Yeah, you know. Not problems. Not a problem at all. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm very proud of that. I've managed the budget since I became the undersheriff. It's something that I'm going to continue to be extremely intimate with through my tenure as sheriff.
What's your secret?
We use evidence-based budgeting. We look back. I did a 10-year study when I took over, looked at where the money was going, why it was going there, what we needed, what we didn't need, and then communicate that with the entire team. From the newest employee to the sheriff, everybody embraced that, and together we worked together. And for the third year in a row, we have come in under budget. That's the first time. Chief accountant for the county told me, and she's been here, I think she said 20, 29 years. She's never seen that before. So I'm very proud of that.
Your accountant doesn't know the difference between 22 and 29, and she's the number cruncher, right?
She told me the number. I just can't remember it.
I'm just kidding. I thought that was too funny to let go by.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the budget, does it change every year dramatically, or do you work with the same numbers in the same departments?
So Douglas County works on a baseline budget system. And that means basically unless there's budget cuts, you get the same budget you had last year. So you have to, if you need to grow, you have to explain why, you have to do the research, and you have to discuss that with the team. That's the commissioners, and quite frankly, I go into these conversations understanding that any dollar that we ask for impacts every other department in the county, and that means a lot to me, because we all have to function. Without one, we can't have the other. So, I've been in the world long enough to know that some departments don't view things that way. And I'm not saying in Douglas County, I think we all get along really well. But in some places, departments will try to get all they can and forget the rest.
Maybe forget where the money came from, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I believe in Douglas County that as a whole, we don't do that. We work together and we prioritize as a team. And I'm proud to be that in that environment.
What do you do when you need more money for fire control or maybe some special testing for DNA or something like that? You can see that I watch too much Law and Order. But what if you have an expensive case where testing is the only way that you're going to proceed?
Well, there's two things that you do. Through the year, you manage your budget and you get through the year. But, you know, law enforcement, it's 24/7. We don't get holidays. We don't get breaks. We don't know where the fire is going to be, when the fire is going to be. We don't know how many there's going to be. So you can budget the best that you can and you work through it. So there's an amendment process at the end of the budget year. If you go over somewhere to the point where you cannot be under budget, then you submit for an amendment at the end of the year through the commissioners, and they can or cannot amend your budget to make you, whole, so to speak. That process actually isn't just done in the month of November. It is done through the whole year. We meet monthly with our commissioners. We keep them up to date of where we're at, where we're progressing, what we're doing, why we're doing it. It's not because we have to, it's because we choose to. And I am confident if the day comes we ever have to ask for an amendment in our budget, they already knew it was coming because they were part of that process from the beginning.
And also, you can't tell how fast you're going to be spending the money, or, but there's money there. There's a rainy day fund that we can call on maybe someday. Not just you, but anybody in the county?
Well, the county has reserves. However, in our department, we're current expense. We're one of the largest in current expense, or we are the largest current expense.
Most counties, you're the largest, right?
Right. And we don't have a reserve fund in our budget. In my annual budget that I manage, I don't have a reserve account. It's my job to budget each line item adequately, but not so fluffy that you can make poor decisions.
Is this one of the reasons you're the sheriff? You were good with numbers and good with budgets, and it was something you had done successfully?
I'd like to believe that I'm the sheriff because I've been part of a great team for many years.
Good answer.
Yes.
Well, tell me about your team. What is it that you like about getting out of bed in the morning and going to work as the sheriff?
Well, you know, I've been in Douglas County for a lot of years, and I've worked for a couple sheriffs. I've seen a lot of great management, and the team that we have has been very supportive of the direction we've been going for the last 4 years, and that's, again, from the newest deputy to myself. And the management team, and I'd like to highlight them, the last several years, we've worked so well together to make positive change, but within a budget restraint. And sometimes if you try to grow too fast, you've tried to move too fast, you just might pull something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When the sheriff retired and I was appointed to his position, I left the undersheriff position vacant. So for 6 months, I pretty much did double duty. Now, that sounds very impressive, but I didn't do it without the team. The two chiefs, Chief Civil Deputy Kelly Soltwich, Chief Criminal Deputy Steve Grossclose, our administrative assistant, Tiffany Augustson, and all the sergeants and every deputy stepped up and helped relieve some of that stress. So now I'm filling that position with Sergeant Kale, and that means that there's going to be attrition all the way through. And there's now going to be a sergeant position open, and we're working through that testing process through civil service. I asked Chief Grossclose and Chief Soltwich and Administrative Assistant Tiffany to stay on board and be part of that team, and I'm fortunate they all agreed, and they're staying on board. So, you know, it's the same old team, and Tyler's going to be a great addition to that.
Continuity is good.
Absolutely.
What about the hiring of that new deputy? That sounds like something easy to do, and it would be a job that a lot of guys would want. But are you going to hire somebody from way out of town or get another local boy?
Well, in law enforcement, it's civil service controlled. And civil service is an entity outside of the sheriff's office. And how this works is whenever there's a position open, a civil service position open, I simply send an email or a letter to civil service and say, we have a position open. Would you please send me the applicants from the list? They send you the top three that are interested. And this is a testing process that they do, and they establish a list. We then interview the top three and select out of the top three.
Now, you've been that guy, right? You were the one that came in to be interviewed at one time in your career?
On two occasions.
What's that like?
It's stressful. You take a lot of, a lot of testing.
I bet it is.
And then the probing starts. After you do all your testing and they offer you a job, then they look deep into your past and, ask you a lot of questions and, you know, but that's very, very necessary in our profession.
And that through that process, you found a good staff and you're pretty convinced that you'll find another new replacement, a new recruit?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And Tyler will be able to be part of that. We interview as a team. We communicate as a team. Although I make the final decision, the reality is it's a team effort. So everybody needs to be on board on who's going to be the best fit for Douglas County and our citizens.
And while we look at your staff, you have something new in the schools, don't you?
We do. Retired Sheriff Jezdal and I worked with the school in Bridgeport, and we now have a school resource officer started in September, the very first day of school. He's been in that school since, and it's been very successful. I've only had nothing but positive from students, teachers, administrators, and most importantly, the SRO officer.
Now, is that the only school in the county that has the officer?
It is. In the county, it's the only one right now that has a school resource officer assigned to the campus.
And that was assigned to that campus. Why?
The school approached us and said they would like to have to have a school resource officer, a full-time on their campus. It isn't just to have a gun on the street or in the school, you know, that protective thing.
Right.
But it is to help rebuild what law enforcement is in the community. We're not faceless people behind a windshield. We are part of that community. Having somebody in that school is going to reestablish that from elementary all the way through.
And what kind of training do you need? Well, first of all, you have to know what teenagers are thinking, and that's impossible, so good luck.
I don't know that there's a school out there for that. There's a school resource officer school, and
we did, really?
Yes, there is actually, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a 80-hour course?
It's a 40-hour course.
40-hour course.
40-hour school resource officer academy.
And, you know, we sent our deputy through that before he started that job, and he's applying the knowledge that he learned from that, not to mention the years of experience he had on the street.
Through this program, would you advise other schools to have officers in on campus if they can swing it financially?
If they can swing it financially, I absolutely do. I think it's a great way to keep communication open between your first responders and your schools. You know, there's so many little things that pop up that administrators may feel they don't actually immediately identify, and or teachers, and outside of something they can completely identify, they a lot of times won't make that phone call. But if you have a school resource officer there, they'll ask the questions, they'll make the comments, and they'll identify potential problems early. I think it's absolutely a great idea, but again, it's dollars and cents.
And it's also experience. It seems like an officer on campus watching everything might be the first guy to see that loner looking more lonely than he was before, or more dangerous, or more angry, or any combination of that we always see as the preliminaries to something terrible happening.
Absolutely. That's part of the job description. That's what they're looking for. They're not necessarily looking for somebody running through the halls. They're looking for the one that's not.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'd like to talk to him sometime to find out what are his tells and his curiosity and whether he thinks the teenagers on campus are speaking another language, or does he now speak that language too?
Right.
Can you imagine what it would be like to be the does he wear a uniform?
Yes, he does. Fully uniform.
So yep. Someone couldn't be more out of place with all the kids, and yet he's a fixture there every day, so maybe they come to trust him.
Well, it is nothing new to that school. I was the sergeant up there for 8 years. Sergeant Kale took over after I became the undersheriff, and we've made it a standard. We go to the school all the time. And it's not unusual to see a police officer there or a deputy sheriff there for the last 12 years. So it wasn't anything new to the students except for the amount of time that he was there. I drove through there like 3 days after school started, you know, poke my head in there like I always did before and speak with the teachers, the students, and administrators. And when I drove through the parking lot, I saw our deputies standing off the sidewalk, and you would have thought the Beatles were in town. There was so many kids around him asking
really?
Questions and talking to him. It was really, I smiled as I drove by.
Cool.
I was really, really proud of that.
Undersheriff, soon to be Undersheriff, Tyler Kale is with us. He's a first visitor to the show. And you're responsible for the hinterlands. It's a big county.
It is.
You can't, not everyone can wait for trouble and drive all the way from East Wenatchee to wherever they need to go. How do you disperse your troops out there so far from civilization?
Well, we've got a great team. You know, countywide, we have an excellent team. But, you know, with the detachment I'm currently supervising right now, and the SRO position's part of the group I supervise. So, Deputy Tonsett, is the SRO, and, you know, I assist him with those duties and whatnot, but we have a great team of both day and night squad. It's a unique squad that we have because, you know, the rest of the county is broken up where, you know, you have a sergeant for day personnel, and you have a sergeant for night personnel. For myself right now, I supervise both day and night personnel.
When do you sleep?
Well, the phone rings a lot during the night, and if you talk to my wife, she'll confirm that. But it's a unique dynamic because it's, you know, it's both day and nights, and, but we've got a great group. They understand the area well. They all have their unique personalities and their traits that they, you know, their patrol traits that they follow and whatnot. And, you know, they provide a great presence, and, for the citizens up there, you know, and how the sheriff's office does business and how we interact with the community. You know, we have a great group, and I can't say, you know, I can't keep saying great things about the work they do up there and how they do mitigate, you know, some of the concerns that have been in the past.
Well, it's great to know you can rely on your troops. That's so important.
No, absolutely. You know, I don't have any trouble sleeping at night knowing who's working, you know, and I know if my phone's ringing in the middle of the night, it's, you know, it's a legitimate thing that's a concern or a legitimate case that's came up that, you know, requires that phone call. And I know it's, you know, they're just looking for either confirmation of what they're already going to do, or they're just looking for that extra assistance and how to move forward.
When you're out there so far away from East Wenatchee, what do you do when you need backup?
Well, it's, you know, you rely on your neighbors. You know, not that we don't rely on, you know, the personnel that are working in the other portions of the county, because we do. You know, we have a deputy that's usually working in the Waterville area and then several assigned to the East Wenatchee Valley area. And, you know, those personnel are asked to respond. But, you know, we have a great working relationship with our other neighboring agencies, you know, in the north end of the county, Brewster Police Department, the Okanagan County mm-hmm. Sheriff's Office, State Patrol, Fish and Wildlife. You know, those are all agencies that not only come and help us on a regular basis, but we also respond and help them because they're in a very similar circumstance of where it may only be a single deputy working in Bridgeport, but it also is only a single deputy working in the south end of Okanagan County or a single patrol officer working for the city of Brewster. So you get to know your neighbors quite well, and to be honest, you kind of form yourself as a whole nother team. You know, we're all brothers and sisters in this, you know, this profession, and it doesn't, you know, the river, county lines, uniform colors, patches don't really stop that response. You know, when your brothers or sisters needs help, you respond and you help them.
My last city of residence was Los Angeles, where the cops ride two to a car day, night, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. And when you guys were out there alone in the hinterland, which is you and Bigfoot across the Great Palouse, I was going, that's a mindset. When you get in the car by yourself, you have to have a mindset that you're safe. And you're going to provide safety for others. That's not always easy to do, is it?
No. I mean, it takes a unique person. It takes a specialized person to be able to be able to function by yourself. I mean, you know, single patrol, rural county, knowing that your closest backup may be 15, 30, 45 minutes away, you learn how to talk yourself out of situations. You learn how to, you learn the tactics you need to survive and, you know, to make this a lifelong profession for yourself.
Sheriff Kevin Morris is here as well. That was the voice of Tyler Cale. He's the new, soon-to-be new county undersheriff. Kevin Morris was the undersheriff before him, so you knew the job pretty well. But since becoming sheriff, any surprises?
No. Like I said,
that's pretty good.
During
no
the
surprises.
Campaign, right. You had asked me once, so what have I learned once I got appointed, and I learned that I know how to do the job, and I know that because of the experiences that was afforded to me, and the leadership that I followed.
One of the questions we always ask here at KPQ is who gets vacation time around Thanksgiving and Christmas? It's not easy to come by because everybody wants to go. What do you guys do for holidays? I didn't even think about that except work them.
Right.
Have you ever? Is there a plan B?
Yeah, you know, they're going through it right now. By contract, the deputies that bid for their vacation before the next year. So right now they're bidding for next year's vacation. The senior deputy gets to go first and so on and so forth. So whoever, the senior deputy who asked for it first gets it. That's kind of how that works.
That's fair.
Yep.
And it goes by seniority.
Yes.
You going to buy any new cars? I can help you pick out the car.
Yeah, we have a vehicle rotation plan. We established that quite a while back. Every year we have to replace cars. We have a 5-year lifespan of our patrol cars, administrative and detective cars. We have an 8-year lifespan, and so when they hit the patrol ones hit their 5 years, we rotate them. We had to do a lot of work to make sure that we didn't have too many come out in rotation at the same time.
Yeah,
and so there's a lot of juggling and balancing that is done to accomplish that.
I want to talk more about cars because the only thing I can relate to the cops is the cop cars. That I can talk about. Sheriff Tyler, Under Sheriff Tyler Cale, Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris are my very special guests. We'll be back to talk about law enforcement on the east side right after this.
Chefs with terrific food pairings and awesome recipes when you join Northwest Wine Nights, Sundays, 1 p.m. on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Hello, this is Dr. Glenn.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:43. My very special guest today, Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris and soon-to-be Douglas County Undersheriff Tyler Cale. We're discussing law enforcement and budgets and what it's like to work for the East Wenatchee Police Department, the East Wenatchee Sheriff's, the Douglas County Sheriff's Department. Good grief. Anyway, you can see I'm learning as I go. At any rate, Sheriff, you have a couple of the different positions that you're going to fill. First of all, you have no corporals. Do you want some?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we have some bodies to fill, obviously, from attrition and moving up. And those are new bodies. But I also put in my budget, and again, and I got to give this disclaimer. The budget is not final yet, but we've had some great positive conversations with the commissioners. I put it in our budget, or the team we did, for corporals, three of them. We have three patrol sergeants right now and one investigative sergeant, detective sergeant. And current sergeants have seven deputies that they supervise. National standard, I believe, is 3 to 5 for a supervisor. Our sergeants are unique in that they're asked to manage programs, too, so they take a step even higher than a supervision, first-level supervision. And this last year I watched them struggle a little bit because they'll also take calls. And they work the road. And so I saw some struggling, especially when another sergeant was on vacation. Now they have 14 guys and gals to deal with and approve reports, deal with sick, calling in sick, vacations, you name it. So we discussed adding corporals. And that's a level between the deputy and the sergeant to assist the sergeant as needed. And these aren't new positions. These are advancement opportunities for current positions. So then it would look like a sergeant, a corporal, and six deputies. The corporal will still work the road just like a deputy, but there will be another person out there when the sheriff, or when the sergeant isn't, to answer questions and be a leader and on the street.
Will the headcount change too? Were you able to fill those positions in the back for the deputies?
Right. We'll use our current staffing, so there won't be an additional staffing to hire. The cost is much less for a great gain.
So it sounds like the sergeant is the Mr. Fix-It. He has to fix everything.
That is a tough position. I did it for 8 years, and they can make or break. You know, they're the front lines for the troops out there, like you were talking earlier, in the middle of nowhere. And that's their lifeline. That's their call. Well, you know, help me work through this challenging problem at 2:30 in the morning. And the sergeants get the calls, and then they have to wake up and get through that. And I'll touch on that just a little bit. Also, you know, that's part of our role as administrators. When you made the comment about being out there by yourself.
Sure.
It's our job to make sure that they're trained, they have the equipment, and then they're comfortable that we are working very hard to make sure that they have all of that. The other thing that we're looking at is emergency management specialist. We had that position several years ago due to funding restraints. That position was reduced, and we didn't go away from that position. We just absorbed that position. Myself, Chief Criminal Deputy, and our administrative assistant took on extra duties to continue with those functions. One thing we've learned over the last 2 years is we need that position.
Yeah,
it's extremely specific and necessary and needed. So that was another position I had put in our budget request. And again, it's not official, but it's very positive with the commissioners. And I believe that we'll be able to get that job description classification out. And that's a civil service position.
What does that officer do in case of an emergency?
It will not be a commissioned position. It is a non-commissioned position. And emergency management specialist will help manage the emergency management grants. There's a state homeland security program, emergency management program grants. There's also hazard mitigation grants. And then in addition to that is hazard mitigation plan that has to be rewritten or updated, not rewritten, updated every 5 years. The county emergency management plan has to be updated every 5 years, which is up next year in 2019. We're currently working on the hazard mitigation plan.
So he better learn how to write a grant, right?
Write them, manage them, report, and there's a lot of work that's involved, a lot of meetings and a lot of paperwork.
But the good result is you're bringing money from a lot of different sources to keep the department going.
Yeah, it's necessary. It's also a key piece of communicating with our fellow emergency management. Every agency has them, so we can pull resources together when we need them. We have major fires. Those EM folks are extremely key in making sure that we get other departments' assistance, all the resources from state mobilization and funding recovery, preparedness, planning. It covers the gamut for what we have to deal with every year.
What do you like best about making those budgets and putting those plans together? The end of it or the process?
I like the end of it when it's successful.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the process is arduous at best and stressful. You know, we have 37 full-time employees right now in Douglas County, $4.5 million budget, and you put that together to manage 12 months, and it's extremely important to make sure that you put the right numbers down for the right reasons.
And you still have to show up when someone calls.
Oh, absolutely. We never get a
calls for service is what you, is that what you call them?
Yeah, calls for service.
I always thought that was just quite a euphemism. All hell is breaking loose over here. Call for service. Our guests today are Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris. He does not work for the East Wenatchee Police Department. Douglas County Under Sheriff Tyler Cale. They're putting together their first show together. You guys are welcome to come back on a regular basis if you so choose. You're good guests. Where's Harvey Gest all these days?
You know, I talked to him periodically.
Has he slipped deep into retirement?
Retirement? Yeah. I don't know that he's working just yet. But every time I talk to him, he sounds great. And I think he's getting used to that transition into retirement. But I do think he's going to ultimately pick up another task and go. That's just his personality.
12:50, we'll be back to say goodbye to our guests right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ.
73 or online at itrustnick.com. itrustnick.com. And consider your home sold.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:54. My guest, Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris, Douglas County Under Sheriff in a few days, Tyler Cale. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Really nice to talk with you. Have a safe new year.
You too.
And when will you become official Under Sheriff, sir?
I'll start January 1st.
We'll make sure it's on our website, okay? January 1st. Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you, Michael.
That's the Douglas County Under Sheriff Tyler Cale, Douglas County Sheriff Kevin Morris. Thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it. Have a safe day, too.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Have a great day.